Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for faith builders. You'll find daily good news reflections on the Scriptures of Mass, written by Terry Modica, to help you in your everyday life and struggles. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning, Philip.
Are you ready?
It's good to see you.
It is.
Yeah.
Are you ready? You were so busy texting beforehand. I was waiting.
Oh, that's what you meant.
Start. Yes.
Yes, I needed to send a text.
You're a frequent texter.
Yeah, I am.
Well, why don't we get to the gospel?
Sure. And what we need to explain is that this week you could find a longer or shorter version of the gospel from Luke. You will see that we're going to read the short version, knowing that the longer version includes the parable of the prodigal son. It's famous enough that I don't think we need to read it today. So we'll read the first part of the gospel, and then in your church, in your parish, you may find that after this they read the priest reads the or the deacon reads the prodigal son's parable.
So what I'm going to read then is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
If you were looking at the long version, it would be chapter 15, 1 through 32, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
And then we go into the prodigal son.
And then the prodigal son would follow.
So it's three examples that's typical of the Gospels, that Jesus will give three different stories, normally combining male and female, and it's very interesting. For me, it's very impactful, the beginning of the Gospel, where it says that tax collectors and sinners were feeling attracted to Jesus, being drawn to Jesus. And that's a very interesting statement right away. We've always thought many people look at the church as a place of purity, a place for those who are righteous, as the Gospel tries to say. And right away, the Gospel tells you that Jesus attracted those who had experienced marginalization, those who probably were not as kosher as the Pharisees or the scribes. And for me, that's a very impactful statement just right away.
I think what you see here, I agree with you, and what I think you see here is it's mercy. It's Jesus discussing mercy and second chances, and the reality that it's not pretty. I remember it was a quick little phrase at a conference that we were at last October.
Mm.
You know, Jesus goes out and he looks for that lost sheep. Those 99 ain't happy about that necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I think about that in the life of a community as we search out those who are lost. those who've kind of been around are not always as patient with that or, mm-hmm. or appreciative. And, we pay the bills around here.
Do you think that's true? Imagine you're a shepherd, and especially if you are working for someone else. Do you really risk 99 sheep not to get the one? I think what Jesus is doing in Matthew's gospel, this story comes with the story of let children come to me. Mm. And I think children were nothing in that society. And I think Jesus, what he's trying to do is to propose people a complete turnaround in values. What success means for the world doesn't mean the same for Jesus. What lost and gain means the complete opposite value for Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, it's very clear that that's what he's doing. Because really, are you a shepherd and you really risk the 99 not to get the 100th? I think what Jesus is saying, change your values. Completely turn over the values that we normally have.
I think you're right about that. And when we think about what those values may be and Jesus' values, it requires choices in life, mm-hmm. and living a particular way. And I think that's just really important in the way that we spend our daily time and our resources and energy. It just requires real choices. Mm-hmm.
So then the point is, how do you, this turning values, how does it translate into a change of behavior in your life? If you are a parent, what does success means to you while you are raising your children? The turning of values is very interesting and very practical, and it has implications for people's life.
It should be uncomfortable, in an uncomfortable realignment of values. A few weeks ago, the Gospels, Jesus saying, I'm here to baptize with a baptism of fire. So, this is going to cause division. So it doesn't have to, I should clarify, it doesn't need to be uncomfortable, but it needs to be drastic and real. Our realignment of values. What I see in this gospel here is Jesus communicating that it's not peaceful. This is not a feel-good gospel if you really think about it. It's about looking for lost things and those who are kind of maybe separated in a sense, the 99 sheep and the one. But realigning those values, it requires a real realignment in time. So it's not just my point in saying this is not just a little change in habits. Let's think about things that really are very bold and say, mm-hmm. I need to stop this cold turkey.
Exactly.
My major sin of gossiping, which is a big part of my life, for instance, I just need to stop it.
This summer, I was invited to a mass here in the Archdiocese one Friday, and it was the feast of Edith Stein. And the gospel said, those who want to keep their life, lose it. And those who want to lose it, keep it. And that's the idea. Jesus gives us a very radical message. And then what do? We preach at parishes that, the spaghetti dinner is at 6 p.m. today. You know what I mean? There is a whole abyss between what Jesus said and what we live and what we communicate. And how do we at least start breaching that a little bit?
The radicalness of his message. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Yes.
I think you're spending too much time with me, even if you got a break for summer. But yes, the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel is very radical. And then we've tamed the message a little bit and we've make it a little bit more palatable. I understand we need to preach something that people can follow, but let's not forget there is a real turnaround in values that we need to at least acknowledge.
I once heard someone preaching, it was a podcast actually, and it was a really difficult gospel. It's partly why I was looking outside for some ideas a few years ago, and he said, this is really a difficult gospel to preach on and to hear, but shouldn't they all be? I just see this here. Mercy can be hard to watch. That's what this is about, mercy, along with a realignment of values, and it can be just hard to watch. And I just would encourage us not to become too comfortable maybe listening to this gospel and moving on with our lives without a major reflection.
Yeah, mercy, and also Jesus's mutual preference for those who have experienced marginalization and suffering, social suffering especially, because it says here there will be more joy in heaven for someone who repents, for someone who says, I want to change, than for someone who says, we have all figured out. How many people in the priesthood, in our parishes, how many people think that we have all figured out, that we have all the answers, that we've been pure and perfect, and that's not reality. It's not reality, but Jesus seems to say, and I prefer people who don't say that.
Right. And it's not just those who maybe more actively kind of say that or seem to demonstrate it. It's also when we live our life complacent, to mm-hmm. say, I don't need to make any changes. That's like an implicit way of saying, I've got it all figured out, mm-hmm. and I don't need anybody's advice. I don't need organized religion's advice. I don't need God, because I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, and that you just drift. So another way to sort of express that is complacency. Express that I've got it all figured out. out and that I'm unwilling to make any change, that I don't need organized religion, I don't need any authorities, I don't need anyone's advice, that I'm my self-contained world, that's a way of living that I've got it all figured out. And I think you're doomed to failure, anyone who lives their life that way.
Or some of us who go to Mass every Sunday, including ourselves, but we are complacent also. We have a way to have a very quiet and tranquil life, and this is not the gospel, you know? Yeah. Second part of the gospel is the prodigal son. I think we've talked enough today.
We have, yeah.
Prodigal son, we've said this many times. Regardless of who do you feel more attached to or identify with, the parable is that we all become like the father who is able to forgive and embrace the two children. For different reasons, they're upset, and he's able to forgive and embrace them.
But you also see there, once again, mercy in action, which is difficult. Tension creates tension and difficulty and hard to watch.
We don't want to conclude this podcast without acknowledging that today, September 11, is the 18th anniversary of the attacks on the Twin Towers in New York and the Pentagon and Pennsylvania. I don't know if you've had a chance to go to the memorial in New York.
One I of have. Them,
I was moved. It's an impressive reminder of what hate can really do.
It is a beautiful reminder. There's a visual aspect, but also the audio aspect of the running water. It's so gorgeous.
So we pray for the victims of that day and for the victims of hate everywhere. It's part of the message of the gospel to bring an end to this kind of violence.
So if you're looking for a Mass this weekend, masstimes.org. In the southeastern Wisconsin area, archmill.org. Also a lot of good other information, of course, on the Archdiocese's website.
See you next week, Felix.
See you next week.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.